Hello. Welcome to our Book of Revelation study podcast here at First Advent Christian Church in Morganton, North Carolina. We hope you enjoy learning more about the mysterious Book of Revelation. Thanks for listening.
And I think we stop with verse 5. Go back just to look at the second seal. I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that the people should slay one another. And he was given a great sword. Now, we talked a little bit last time about this red horse. You know, red being the color of blood. We're talking about war. He has a sword. We also talked about how it may allude to communism. What's China calling Putin? Putin the Great. Yes. Now, if you know, President Putin is president of Russia, not China, but the Chinese have started calling him Putin the Great. China. Man army? Possibly. Comes against Israel? Possibly. Army from the north? Gog? Magog? Russia? Interesting. But I wanted you to hear about what China's calling Putin at this point in time. Okay, so let's start with some new material. I think we got to this point. In chapter 6, verse 5, he says, "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come,' and I looked, and behold, a black horse. And its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine.'" All right. Each time John is called, he's called by a different creature, and we have four creatures, we know that, and he gets called by a different one each time. This horse is black, and the rider carries with him scales. What's that indicative of? Weights, right? Measures. So, and then he goes on to tell you what is going to cost for bread and grain. Let me read that out of the New Living Translation so that you get an understanding of how much he's telling you things are going to cost. He says, "And I heard a voice from among the four living beings saying, 'A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay.'" Loaf of bread, a day's pay. I don't know about you, but that's pretty expensive just for a loaf of bread. And he says, "Don't waste the olive oil and wine." Now, what's going to happen if we have a substantial increase in food prices? You can't afford it, right? You have people going hungry. You'll see what people will do when they're not hungry, much less when they get hungry. Will people be willing to kill for bread? Absolutely they will. Absolutely. Interestingly, it says, "Don't waste or harm the olive oil and wine." Now, there's some debate about that, but most agree that this is concerning the wealthy people, because they will still be able to buy food or the necessities. They'll still have that wealth. So they'll be able to purchase food, whereas people who are not so well off are going to be hungry. If you go to Matthew 24 and 7, he gives an explanation. Jesus says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom," and we've already talked about this, "and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Jesus is telling it, sequential order. After war, we're going to have famines. Ezekiel tells us in verse 38, which we read this week before last, chapter 38, verse 19, he talks about the earthquakes. He says, "For in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath, I declare, on that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel." So we have war, we have famine, we have the Antichrist. And now we get ready to see the fourth horse. In verse 7, "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Pale in color. A pale horse. And his rider is death. And look who's following. Who's following? Hades. Now, is Hades hell? Is it? No, we can't put them together. We use them interchangeably a lot of times, but Hades and hell are separated because you will find out in Revelation either 21 or 22 that Hades is actually thrown into the lake of fire or is thrown into hell. Okay, so it's not they're not exactly the same thing. We just use them interchangeably. All right, so it says they're given up to death of a quarter of the population. At this point, we're about 8 billion people on the earth. So how many does that get rid of? About 2 billion, right? Quarter? So about 2 billion people gone. Do you think that's going to cause problems? Do you think there's going to be issues with 2 billion people? Well, I think so. I know, I think it's going to be obvious. I don't think there's going to be any doubt that we're seeing those horses ride. Now, how does that happen? How do 2 billion people die? Well, he tells us how they die. First of all, the wars, right? He gives it to you. Fourth of the earth, the kill with sword, which is war, with famine, starvation, with pestilence, crops are eaten, burn up, gone. Interestingly, though, I think the fourth one's probably the most interesting out of all those. And by wild beast, that's the fourth way. Wild beast of the earth. Now, to me, that just seems interesting. They'll be hungry also, won't they? And you know what? I think this might be what God's way of saying, you know what? Nature worshipers, I'm the true God, not Mother Nature. You know, and I think about this. Think about this socially. But socially, right now, we're much more concerned about how somebody treats a pet than we are about 56 million unborn babies. You know that? Killing them every day. Well, what can we do about it? 56 million. Can you imagine 56 million people have been killed in this country? And we'll jump up and down over a horse that's starving. But that doesn't seem to bother us anymore. Are we desensitized? Are we being deceived? I'm just asking you to think about the things. Let's look at, if you don't mind, if you want to turn over, I want to read Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. If you don't mind, before we read verses 9 through 11 in Revelation. In Matthew 24, beginning with verse 3, it says, He sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to Him privately, saying, Tell us what will these things be. Tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And Jesus answered them, See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in My name, saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. The beginning of the birth pains. The things that we have talked about with the horsemen, the Antichrist, plural, Antichrist, war, famine, disease, death. Are they new? Are they new? No. We've had them throughout history. Aren't they? We've had those throughout history. I also want you to see something about these horsemen. They're not called the wrath of God. The horsemen are not called the wrath of God. Jesus actually says the beginning of birth pains. He doesn't even describe them as tribulation, birth pains. Now, as we continue into Matthew 24, he's going to differentiate. He's going to say birth pains, tribulation, great tribulation. He says that. Birth pains, tribulation, great tribulation. And what that means is it's going to get progressively worse. The question is, and most people want to know, is where am I when this is going on? Right? Isn't that what we want to know? Where am I going to be? Well, that depends on your belief. If you're pre-trib, you're already out. Pre-tribulation. If you believe in pre-tribulation, you're gone. If you believe in mid-tribulation, you're going to be here for at least part of the tribulation. That's why it's called mid-tribulation. And if you're post-tribulation, guess what? You're enduring to the end. 7 years. And what have we talked about 7 years already? We talked about 7 years in those newspaper articles. What he said, we're at the 7 years. Daniel talks about the 70 years when Joseph was in Egypt. What did they have? 7 years of? And 7 years of? Plenty and famine, right? Divided up into 7 years. Tribulation, 7 years. So, we're going to continue to look at it, and I hope that I can give you what I think, what I believe the Bible says in looking at the other parts of the Bible with Revelation. Okay, so let's continue on now back to Revelation, and let's go to verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then there were each given a white robe and told to rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. You're under the altar. It's those people, the people we're getting a description of are the people who have stood for God. The seals have been broken in order. You understand what I'm saying? Sequential order. Antichrist, war, disease, famine, death. And then, with this particular seal, the fifth seal, we see those people under the altar. And they're crying out. Why? Why are they crying out? Why do you think they want their blood avenged? What's happened to them? Yes, they're martyrs. They've been killed for the name of Jesus Christ. How long, Lord, before you avenge our blood? And what are they told? Wait just a little longer. Wait just a little longer. What happened at the Old Testament temple? What did they do at the Old Testament temple? What did they what?
They slaughtered them.
For?
For the blood sacrifice.
For the blood sacrifice. And here we have the martyrs under the altar have been killed for the name of Jesus. Sacrifice? Absolutely. Sacrificed. Interestingly enough, and this is reputable source, is the altar for the temple is complete. For the third temple is complete. It has been built. It is ready to go. Ready to go. And you know what? I question then, if we have an altar that they're ready to make sacrifice on, do we need a complete temple? Could it be a tent? They used a tent for years for the temple, did they not? Remember, it was a long time before Solomon built that great temple. The Shekinah glory of God was in the tent. So, if we've got an altar, we have to go through the complete construction of a temple such as Solomon's, which is part of Revelation. Just something to think about. But these are people who are under the altar. They've been martyred for Christ. We do have a corresponding verse in Matthew 24 with it. It says Matthew 24, verse 9. Matthew 24 is verse 9. Revelation 6 is verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Who are these people? Who's Jesus talking to? Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Who is he talking to? Is he just talking to the disciples there? What did they ask him? What did the disciples ask him? What would be the sign of his coming? He's telling us what happens at the end. And so here at the end, what Jesus is saying in Matthew 24 is, hey, this is a sign of the times. You're going to be delivered up to tribulation and be put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then get this, because let me tell you, this is going to happen. And then many will fall away, betray one another, and hate one another. Lawlessness will abound. This is what's going to be called chaos. And if we're not strong in the faith, when these kind of things start happening, we will be part of that falling away. And it says, they will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. It's overwhelming, isn't it? In this country, we haven't had to worry about that. We've been protected. The hand of God has been upon us. But other countries, they're being martyred every day for Jesus Christ. Not just hundreds, but thousands around the world are martyred every day for Jesus Christ. And we can come in here, well, we used to be able to come in here, and we feel pretty safe. It's a Bible study on Wednesday night in Charleston, wasn't it? For a prayer meeting. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. And here we go. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And listen to this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We didn't have that capability 50 years ago, did we? We had missionaries, but look at what we have now. Look at all the technology we have to get the Word of God out. Internet, satellite, still missionaries, but it's going throughout the world. And he says that we're going to see it go around the world. In Paul's day, that hadn't happened. Paul hadn't got it to the whole world. But in our day and time, that's a real, real possibility. Already a possibility. Verse 12, and back to Revelation, verse chapter 6. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain island was removed from its place. Lots of speculation on these verses. How will that happen? How will the sun be affected? The moon looked like blood. The stars, a source of light, be darkened or fall to the earth. Some people say that they feel like it will be some type of nuclear holocaust. Is that a possibility? Well, yeah, it is a possibility. Stars falling to the earth are probably not going to happen unless you want complete decimation of the earth, because most stars are bigger than the earth. But if you look at the Greek translation, that would talk more about meteors than it would stars. Just for speculation, I just want people to understand we need to be ready. But there's all kinds of things that could happen. And this world is pretty fragile. And we're all, at this point now, tied together. If our economy goes, we're going to hurt. Not only us, but a lot of other countries. That's with little old Greece over there, who has, what is the debt? It's a billion. It's billions. It's not trillions. It's billions. And how many?
$2 billion.
Well, my goodness, the United States has $17 trillion in debt. But that little country over there that has $2 billion is going to rock the economic world. Interesting. What happens if the United States goes into default with $17 trillion of debt, who we owe mostly to China? That will be something interesting, right? What about, did you know we have one of the largest super volcanoes in the United States, in the whole world? Where is it? Anybody know where it is? Yellowstone. It's under the ground. It's under the ground. Now, would that be destructive for the whole world? Maybe not. But it could be incredibly destructive to the United States. The ash from Yellowstone would not only go east, it would go west. And you're talking about the destruction of crops. You're talking about economic disaster if that actually happens. And you know, the thing is now, they're saying it's becoming more and more touchy. They're seeing things that they haven't seen it do before, and it's been so many hundreds of thousands of years since it erupted the last time. Is it a possibility? Of course. It would cause breathing problems. It would cause electrical issues. It would cause problems with getting supplies. And of course, the big thing is food. That ash going up in the air, could it cause some of the things that you're looking at here in Revelation? Yeah. It could darken the sun, make the moon look blood red. Did you realize that when the earthquake and the tsunami hit Japan in 2011, that the earth was actually moved on its axis? 25 centimeters. It's moved. And they have to reset the world clock ever so often by 1 second because of that movement. The whole earth was jarred because of that. The earthquake, the tsunami that hit Indonesia in 2004 killed 230,000 people in 14 countries. But what we're talking about here, that will absolutely pale in comparison. Verse 14, the sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. That's a shaking of the earth. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? You know, there's many people in this world, even in this country, who have never read this book. They've never read it. When these things start happening, many people are going to be clueless. Absolutely clueless about what's going on. They won't believe that what we're talking about tonight is actually what the Bible has prophesied. And they'll run to the mountains, they'll run to the caves, hide themselves. Interesting, who do they call out to? Call to the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. Knowing who they're running from. So even in the midst of this terror that we've seen, all the things that have happened, all the seals that have been broken, we have people who are running, knowing who they're running from, and still requesting that the rocks fall on them. That's pretty set in your belief, isn't it? That's pretty set in your belief. Are we strong enough? And it's an individual question. Are we strong enough that if we go through this, we're going to be able to stand for Christ? That's an individual question only you can answer. And you know, and I don't even know if tonight we could answer that. Until we're in the midst of that, with those things happening around us, can we stand? And you know what I think about is, well, I might be able to, but what if somebody grabbed my wife or my child and said, if you don't denounce Christ, I'll kill them. No more family. But you think about that. Lawlessness will abound. Are we strong enough to stand? And I think that's why we read these the books, the revelation, our Bible, is to actually grow in faith. So when these perilous times come, because I'm going to be honest with you, at this point, I don't see where we've left. I do not see where we have been taken up off of this earth. And as bad as it might seem, if we stand for Him, think about the glory that we will receive. Because that's the thing. You know, we think about this life and protection of it, but this life is like a vapor. And it's going to pass. So when it does pass, we go into the glory of Almighty God. And we'll realize that anything that we suffered was well worth it. Was well worth it.
We hope you enjoyed this week's teaching from the Book of Revelation. Don't forget to check for a new podcast each Friday as we work our way through this interesting book of the Bible. Thanks for listening.